Mark's going to make us greet each other again. Because that's how he rolls. Thank you, Mark. I love it. Well, tonight we're going to start a new series that I've titled, Would Christ Be Welcome in Your Home? And we're going to look at Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. I use the NASB this week. You're welcome to use whatever translation you like. We'll have slides up here. Let me go ahead and read that. Starting in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You pray for us as we get into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your invitation to us tonight to come here to gather as your children, God, to gather in a place that is set apart for you, that's set apart for prayer and for worship and to rejoice and to praise you, God, a place of hope, a place of healing and love and encouragement, a place where truth is proclaimed, a place of life, a place of faith. Lord, I'm just asked tonight, would you give us more faith, Lord? Would you give us the faith tonight to make it possible for every person here, every person to have an encounter with the living presence of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord? We pray that you'd give us the faith to hear your Spirit, Lord, applying your word to our lives. Lord, we know that we come bringing a lot of faults, a lot of imperfections, a lot of failure, a lot of sins and mess, God, but we claim the forgiveness that you promise in your word, God, and we receive it, and the restoration that you promise to your sons and your daughters, God. But God, we also know that we have so much to rejoice over, God. We have so much to be thankful for tonight, and our hearts are full of praise and thanksgiving for you, for who you are, that you are our Father, that we are your children, and we celebrate what you've done at the cross to make that possible. Lord, I just pray tonight, give us the faith, God, to just give our minds to you unreservedly, God, to give our hearts to you, our lives before you, Lord. We just offer it all to you, that you would be glorified, Lord, and that other people would see your goodness and see the change in us, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as well. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. There was a common wall plaque a long time ago, popular in the 1950s and 60s and maybe into the 70s. Some of you might have seen this. But the plaque said, Our house is open to sunshine, friends, guest, and God. Does anybody remember seeing that sign? Actually, any Jerry Lewis fans here? I don't know why I know this, but Jerry Lewis at his house, he had a gold version of this sign on the door, on the front door of his house, when people would come to visit him. Our house is open to sunshine, friends, guests, and God. That is a really happy thought. I like that so much. And it's true. You know, I think most of us welcome sunshine. I have to welcome it with some sunscreen on because of some cancer issues. But we welcome sunshine. A lot of you are probably like my wife. Like the more sunshine and the more warmth, the better and the happier that you feel about everything when it's sunny outside. Especially when the kids in the classroom aren't cooped up with you day number 14 in a row with rain. When you get that sunshine, it's so Wonderful. And we invite that. We welcome that, especially in the Indiana where it's elusive. And we love our friends. I think most of us really love our friends. And some of you I know are hospitable and you love guests. Kim and I, has it been a year and a half ago or how long ago when we had a bunch of people at our house? We had a big cookout. We had everybody from Here's Hope and some family and friends. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was a while back. Well, I like having you guys over. We've opened our house up. That was kind of the deal when we added on to our house, that it was God's house and for him to use it. And we asked him to do that. We said, Lord, either take it from us or put it to use for you. So he kept bringing people. And so if any of you guys, you know. Yeah, yeah. When the tornado, yeah. And you know, we love to welcome and invite family and guests. But I'll just throw this out there. There are times where if it's a prolonged period of time, we had a family with lots of little kids that lived with us for many months. How many? Like 18 months. It's kind of an ongoing joke whenever we see them. Yeah, that's the best year and a half when you guys stayed with us. You know, but people are messy. People are messy, and we disappoint each other at times. And I think that's part of God's purpose, you know, that we entrust ourselves only completely to him as far as knowing there'll never be disappointment in trusting in him. Our house is open to sunshine, friends, guests, and God. That is such a truthful and happy thought. But the crucial part of that statement is the last part. The crucial part is the last part. Our house is open to God. Our house is open to God. We're going to talk about that tonight. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to two disciples. There were two disciples walking down the road. They were going to their hometown or village of Emmaus where they lived. And Luke 24 talks about this. And Jesus approached them, the Bible tells us. And he began walking with them and speaking to them and discussing the word with them and the events that had been going on. And the Bible says that these disciples were prevented by the power of God. They were prevented from recognizing who Jesus was. So Luke 24, starting in verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going. And he acted, speaking of Jesus, he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went to stay with them. So they reached Emmaus, they reached their hometown, and Christ is welcomed into their home, even though they really don't know at this point who he is. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? You know, I read these stories sometimes, and it's so wondrous and so beautiful to have Jesus come into the home, and he's sharing conversation and sharing a meal, and then this burning in their hearts. What a wonderful thing. But sometimes I think I miss the application that this same Christ who revealed himself to these disciples desires to reveal himself to us as the living Christ in our homes and to our families. He wants to be invited into every aspect of home life and family life, and he wants to reveal who he is just like he did to these disciples in a way that our hearts would burn with passion for him and his word. Christ was also welcome in the home of the Apostle Peter, and we read about that in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, and I'll just give you a recap. Christ goes to this home of Peter, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and he healed others, and he brought hope. There were people who were controlled by demons, and he dealt with that. He freed them from the power of Satan. And he's revealing who he is, and he's revealing what he had come to accomplish. And in the same way, Christ wants to come into your home and into your life. And there are things that he wants to heal you of, things that only he can heal you of. There are things in your life he wants to free you from, that you're shackled by. There are things in your life that he wants to deliver you from and bring hope into despair in your life, just as he did in Peter's home. Christ was welcome in the home of Zacchaeus. And we read this in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And again, I'll just give you a summary of that. And in this home, it's a little different. Jesus is kind of self-invited here. He's said, I'm going to come to your home and hang out. And he goes there, and he goes and makes these changes. As he spends time with Zacchaeus, he makes these changes in Zacchaeus and in those who are part of this household. Zacchaeus, in hanging out with Jesus, he receives what he has to say. And he rejoices in what Jesus has to say. And he rejoices over these changes being made in him because of Christ's presence. Because of Christ's presence in his home, he has changed. And Jesus wants you to rejoice in the changes that he's making in your life and in your home. Christ was welcome in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We see this in Luke 10 and in John 11 and John 12 and elsewhere. The New Testament specifically speaks of three identifiable visits to this home. Very likely, Jesus went there many times. These are close friends of his, so he probably was there quite a bit more. And most of the time, I'm sure he went there for just some typical reasons why a friend would visit a friend. He enjoyed spending time with them. But even though his visits in some ways may have been typical, they were also very significant. And we're going to really focus on that for a little while. Jesus came to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus on a casual occasion when he was unexpected. And this is the case in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And we know that Jesus was unexpected on this occasion because Martha is crazy OCD. Martha, if you read about her in Scripture, she is so obsessive and detailed and task-oriented, it's just insane. And so she's so seriously wired that way. If she knew in advance, now she invited Jesus. So they had run into each other or something, and she'd invited him to come and welcomed him. But if she had been prepared in advance, everything, all the dusting would have been done, all the napkins would have been perfectly in place, everything would have been done. And she would have been ready. And I think that maybe the reasoning on this occasion why Jesus came, and some of the reason why Jesus comes unexpectedly and why he's self-invited at sometimes, is simply to just share through his presence, to share the grace of God. To share the grace of God. You know, we can assume that when Jesus invited himself, whether it's in this case or like with Zacchaeus, when he's unexpected, it's because he loves people. He's inviting himself to come, not because he's a moocher, or not because he has some need that he can't take care of apart from them, but by doing so, he can bless people. And that's his reasoning for wanting to come into your home. It's not so that he can come in and impose himself. It's so that he can come in and bless and love people. You know, it's possible that Jesus had a standing invitation to come anytime he wanted. We don't know. At this home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, maybe Jesus, on a previous occasion, they'd had a conversation, and one of these siblings had said, Jesus, our home is your home. Anytime you're passing through, just stop in. You are always welcome. We'd love to see you. Stop in anytime. Hang out with us. And that's a beautiful thought, to think that's how it should be. There should be a standing invitation. Anytime. Jesus is always welcome, no matter what's going on. We see also in John 11 that Jesus came to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at a time of sorrow. This is a situation where Mary and Martha are devastated because Lazarus has died. And Jesus comes and the ministry of presence and his tears and his words and just the compassion that he shows, and he demonstrates his love for them, but then he also demonstrates his power, his resurrection power, when he calls Lazarus from the grave. And Jesus restores this brother who is loved so much by these heartbroken sisters. He restores them to them. You know, I want that for me. I want Jesus to feel free to drop in my life when there's heartbreak and there's disappointment and there's grief going on and there's heavy hearts. And I want Jesus to, I want to be able to actually expect it. To know that on my worst days, when I am sobbing and I am overcome with grief, I want to know that Jesus is coming. That he's going to come by. I want to be able to expect that. But for me, I think for me to expect that, to know that he's, that the presence of Christ is going to fill my home on those days of sorrow, he needs to have a standing invitation to come all the time. And if he's got a standing invitation to come all the time, I think I can expect him in the times that I need him the most. Jesus also came, and this is in John 12, in a time of celebration. Mary and Martha, they're preparing this feast. It's a little before the Passover, and they're having a lot of friends over, and Jesus is an honored guest. And it's clearly a happy time. There's celebration going on. And I look at that scene, and I wonder, is Jesus not only invited when I've got something to celebrate in my life, but is he really at the center when I'm celebrating the wedding of one of our children, when we're celebrating a graduation, when we're celebrating whatever it may be? Is he an honored guest in that celebration? Is he still front and center? Because every good and perfect gift that we have our party for, every celebration, is from him. And it's for him that we would praise him. That's the point of it. So on those occasions when we're having the big gathering and we're having the family from out of town or whatever's going on that we're celebrating, is Jesus not only invited, but is he the honored guest at our celebrations? He needs to not only have a standing invitation, but he needs to have the seat of honor all the time, every day. So let's recognize some of the purposes of Jesus' visits. Jesus came to this home to teach them and to show them by demonstrating the ways of God. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she's listening to his teaching, and Martha's preparing a meal. We read about that in Luke 10:39 and 40. And I think sometimes we're a little too harsh on Martha. You know, because they're both blessed. They're both blessed here. Being with Jesus, being in a place with Jesus, even when we're distracted, just the fact that Jesus is in the house, we're blessed by that. Being where Jesus is, we learn from him. Some of, if we're distracted, not as much maybe, but we still learn from him, and we're still in a place where knowledge, true knowledge, is being imparted and where his power is working. And Mary is sitting at his feet. But there's actually a point in John 11:27 where Martha is the one who says, in this conversation with Jesus, she says, "You are the Messiah." Now, this is not Mary who's sitting at his feet. This is Martha who's busy doing all these tasks and seems really distracted. And she says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one who has come into the world, Jesus, from God." Jesus wants to have these times in our home. Part of his purpose of spending time with us is that we would just know who he is. Jesus also came into this home to rearrange their priorities and to correct some things. Martha is distracted. She's got all these preparations going on for this feast. She feels overwhelmed. And Jesus tells her, he says, "One thing is needful." I don't think he's belittling her or criticizing her or putting her down. He's just teaching her. He's just in love. I think he's telling her, listen, one thing is needful. And out of love, he's saying, "Martha, let me help you with your priorities." He loves her. But he says, "Let me rearrange your priorities." And he tells Martha that this devout, intentional love that of just resting in him that Mary has is a good thing that she needs. It should be a priority. It's the most important thing. I think in short, Jesus is saying, listen, Martha, task for me, that's good, but just being with me is even better. Just being with this relationship that Mary is just enjoying with me, that's the important thing here. It's in love. And Jesus came into this home to show sympathy in that time of sorrow. In John 11, it speaks of that. And he does that. He comes in a time when peace seems impossible, when celebration and joy seems to make no sense at all in the midst of grief, and he comes in and loves on us. And then he also comes in with power to give new life, as we see with Lazarus. But one of the main reasons why Jesus comes to our homes, into our lives, into our hearts, into our families, is in Mark 10:45. Jesus is not a party crasher. Even for those who have a relationship with him, he just doesn't typically. There are times he busts in, like he did with Saul, and says, nah, we need to just really get you on a new course. And there are times he supernaturally does that. But most of the time, that's not how Jesus works. He won't come in and just intrude upon us when he's really not welcome. In Mark 10:45, the Lord tells us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to save us. And we see in this case with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, all these different seasons, all these different circumstances, and yet Jesus is showing up in the midst of all of them, that he's always invited to be there. You know, unfortunately, that's not always the case. There was a rich young man we read about in Scripture who was a fan of Jesus, enough to have a conversation with him and seek some teaching from him. But he wasn't going to welcome him into his home, and he wasn't going to follow Jesus where Jesus was going. He wasn't going to invite him into the home of his heart, because it was going to cost too much, he thought. And his priorities were just not in alignment with what God wanted to do in order to be able to enter into his life. But then we read about these disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Zacchaeus, and Peter, and Mary, and Martha, and Lazarus, and all these other people that welcome Jesus into their home. And we see that when that happens, Jesus changes everything. He changes absolutely everything. He changes identities of who people are. He changes all the hurts and the hang-ups and guilt of the past, and washes it away, and puts people on a new trajectory in their life. He changes absolutely everything. So what about you? Is Jesus welcome in your home all the time, not just during the religious moments, not just during the small group or the Bible study or the devotional with the kids? You know, he wants to come into the home all the time. And of course, he's within us and we don't lose him, but there are things that he wants to change in our lives. There are things that he wants to reverse. There are things that he wants to come into with power and with love and to take over because of his love for us. You know, he wants us to have a life that is in complete alignment with his word, an abundant life empowered by the Spirit. He wants us to be experiencing a life that's so full of meaning and so full of purpose and so full of truth and so full of love that it's undeniable that his presence is with us and with our families. He wants us to have a life that is so close to his heart that we are completely changed by it. In the midst of commotion, noise, I mean, I don't know about your guys' home, and I'm not ratting on my wife, let's just say this is all my fault. There's a lot of noise at our house. You know, there's whatever it is. Television, you know, computer things, whatever it may be. Are you willing to have that be still in no time with him? Are you willing to have, is he invited enough for you to set aside whatever the distractions are? There's so many diversions. You think about the cell phones and the video games and the TV and all these things and all these lights and bells and whistles and everything. And Jesus is saying, I want to come in with a light that is going to blow your mind if we can set aside these secondary lights for a while. Is he invited? I mean, is he really invited? And I know the default answer as a Christian is I don't want to feel convicted. So my default answer is, hey, Jesus is always welcome. But do my actions really show that? Am I shutting down the things that say, Jesus, you really are welcome here, and it's not just talk. It's real. In the midst of my fears, in the midst of me being frustrated, in the midst of demanding my rights or my agendas, I mean, is Jesus welcome to come in and change me and deal with me? Even in those moments, and I know, like right now with Cole and Elise, our oldest son and his wife, I mean, they're making plans for the future. Things for them have been really kind of radically altered of where they thought they were going. Is it that way for us? I mean, as we feel like we're just setting these plans in motion, or we're making new plans in life, or we're entering a new season. Kim and I are talking about a new season for us in the next few years, with maybe her retiring from teaching and things. But as we go through these seasons and we look at our plans, I mean, is Jesus welcome to come in and take over and change everything? And the most important question is he welcome in this home? Is Jesus welcome in the home of your heart? Let me pray for us, and worship team, you can come up. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, God. Thank you that the invitation that you want from us, this open invitation to always show up, to always take over, to always be the guest of honor at every moment of our lives, God, that it's out of love that you want to do that. But Father, we confess that our lives and our hearts and our minds are so full of noise and activity and distractions, God. Help us to invite you in more. Lord, help us to invite you to be Lord of everything and push all the secondary things aside. Help us to not just say, Lord, your will be done in my life, but to actually mean it and to act accordingly, Lord. Change us. Teach us just like you did all of those disciples that we spoke about, Lord, that you were enough. That having Jesus in the house is enough. Though what we need more than anything is not to be entertained. We need transformed lives, God. I do. And I need transformed not just for my sake, Lord, but that you can reach other people through me. That it's not just talk when I tell them about the presence of Jesus in my life, but they see it whether I say anything or not. Make us a living testimony of your presence in us and working through us, God. Lord, if there's some here tonight who are not saved yet, oh, Father, please draw them to you. God, we pray that you would help them to seek you and find you. Give them the gift of faith and repentance. Help them, God, to put their trust in you tonight. And God, I pray for all of us as we get ready to worship you again, Lord, to just say more today than we did yesterday. Jesus, you are welcome. You are welcome in my thoughts. You're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in my life. You're welcome in my marriage, God. You're welcome in my family. You're welcome in my workplace. You're welcome in every conversation. And you're not just welcomed as a guest, but as the guest of honor. That you would be lifted high in every part of my life, God. Help us to say that. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, God, help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.